Chelsea at breakfast.
BBC Radio Manchester.
So if you are just waking up this morning and you've just turned the radio on and you think, what's going on? This show doesn't sound quite as it usually is. No, it's not a regular show today because yesterday everyone here at the BBC, at Radio Manchester, the Inside Out team, North West Tonight, all got the terribly sad news that our much-loved friend and colleague Diane Oxbury had died after a short illness. She was just 51. And she's been in our lives, whether it be, you know, in our ears on the radio or in our lounges through the telly and reading the weather, for well over 20 years. We're going to speak to Simon Mayo at 10 to 8 this morning, who worked with her back on Radio 1. And then at 10 past 8 this morning, we're going to speak to Eamon O'Neill, who worked with her here on BBC Radio Manchester. And anybody who works with Eamon knows you're not just a colleague, you become a friend.
Yes.
So he knew her very, very well. So I'm just thinking, though, you know, as we're talking about all this, she'd be dead embarrassed that we're talking about her this much. She'd be like, shut up, have you got nothing else to talk about? Move on to something else. Because she was so private.
She was a bit of a reluctant star, if you like to call her that, wasn't she? You know,
yeah.
And I think that the fame kind of went with the territory, so she just had to accept that. But she was just a normal person.
She was.
As normal as any person is.
I remember watching her on the 8:15 from Manchester. Mark, you might be a bit young for that. I used to go, 8:15 from Manchester. And it was like a proper kids TV show that came from Manchester.
Yeah.
And I remember her hosting it, and I was 10 at the time, right? And they said that New Kids on the Block were going to be on it. And I was scheduled to be in the audience. And I did not sleep all night because, like, they were my favourite band ever. And when I got there, we, you know, they always do, like, hi to the audience. So Diane said, like, hello to everyone. And then it came to the New Kids on the Block bit. And it was actually just a video of them. They weren't actually there.
No.
I was devastated. I blame Diane. We laughed after, you know, when she used to come in and do the weather on Drive, I said, oh, you ruined my life as a kid when I was 10. She laughed her head off.
I'm one of those people who's really starstruck as well. And just moving here to the BBC last year, you know, I would see people like Diane on the corridor or in the kitchen or in the canteen.
Like, it's Diane Oxbury.
Ooh, should I ask for the autograph? but you don't want to embarrass yourself. But I genuinely remember sitting in a rival newsroom years ago when Diane used to do the lunchtime show here on BBC Radio Manchester. Right? I'd sit in the newsroom at the other radio station I worked at, and I would be pretending to be editing news interviews, but I was actually secretly listening to her show. Now and again, the news editor would look at me and say, what are you working on? I'm just editing here.
Oh, it's a very difficult edit. I've been here an hour.
I remember when I joined the BBC 3 years ago, one of the first things my mum said to me a couple of weeks after I'd started was, have you met Diane Oxbury yet?
Wow.
Because, you know, she's just been a part of everyone's lives for so long, grew up watching her on TV, and yeah, my mum will take this, you know, very, very hard.
Difficult,
this morning.
Difficult,
yeah.
Of course. When I was on Drive for a year, obviously with her being on the telly at night time, she would come in and do the weather like Simon does for me in the morning now. And I was saying before, she would sometimes come in, and while she was reading the weather, she'd be peeling an orange.
Well, you know what?
And I was like, I used to say on air, what are you doing? I said, what you don't know, listener, is that as she's reading this weather, she's peeled an orange.
Well, now I think about it, one of my memories is I used to read the sport on Drive Time before I moved to breakfast, and you were on Drive Time for part of that period. And I've got this memory of being stood in this exact position I am now, turning to my right when my bulletin had finished to see you and Diane yakking away, not paying any attention.
No, you'd probably stop your sport and we didn't even realise. Because we had some sort of similarities in our lives, in our family lives, and I used to ask her for advice sometimes. So when, like, you lot were listening to, like, songs, we were chatting away. And do you know what I always loved about her? And I was always a bit envious of how, like, bloody strong she was. Mm. Like, she was really assertive, but she did it in such a well-mannered way. And I'd say something and she'd go, well, I wouldn't stand for that.
Yeah.
I would do this and I would do that. And I thought, if I could get a tenth of that, like, strength, I'd be a better person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many messages coming in this morning. Paul the Postie says, I'm so shocked of hearing the news and the sad passing that Diane's gone. Jimmy the Pan says, good morning, everyone. I feel really sorry for Diana, family, her friends at the BBC. Jules in Hayward says, so sad to hear the awful news. She came across as such a lovely person. She was my surrogate sister.
Aww.
How nice is that? I'll miss her smile, her voice. God love you, Diane. Ian in Bury says, such sad news. She really was a ray of sunshine. I never met her, but I always felt like I knew her. Lots of love to her family. God bless her. Her family is Ian, a husband, and her two children. Ian released this statement yesterday. Diane was an amazing wife and mother who embraced life to the full. She was an inspiration to all who knew and loved her, but also to the people who watched and welcomed her into their homes each night as if she were a part of their family too. She'll leave a massive void in our lives, but because of the remarkable person she was, she will forever live in our hearts. The children and I will miss her more than anyone can imagine. So many people just wanting to get in touch and sort of say hello. We're going to speak to Steve in Radcliffe after the latest on the road.
Chelsea at breakfast, weekday mornings from 6.
BBC Radio Manchester.
Good morning. It is 8:05. It's Friday the 11th of January. This show this morning is a bit different to the normal breakfast show. I certainly say it's one that I never wanted to do. If you've heard there in the news with Loco at 8 o'clock, such terribly sad news to announce. And it is really emotional to read this to you guys, that our much-loved colleague and friend Diane Oxbury has died after a short illness. She was just 51. And we're all stunned, I think is the word, here at BBC Radio Manchester. She is known by millions for doing so many things. You know, she did the weather on North West Tonight for more than 25 years. She presented shows here on BBC Radio Manchester, The Breakfast Show with Eamon O'Neill, who we're going to be speaking to in just a second. More recently, she presented Inside Out North West. She hosted award ceremonies outside of work. We have so many memories of her, as I'm sure you lot will have too. And Michelle Adamson and Richard Stead have been looking back at her life.
8:15 from Manchester.
This was Diane Oxbury's big break on television. The 8:15 from Manchester was a Saturday morning kids' TV programme which began broadcasting nationwide in 1991. Here she is interviewing the fledgling Manchester boy band Take That before they became superstars.
So how did you meet? I mean, are you all friends from school? Because it's quite a variety of ages, isn't there? I mean, no, I know, Rob, you're only 17, aren't you?
Baby in the band. No, what it was a combination of two bands. My manager got the two bands together and then
took it from there, really.
Took it from there, and like the two bands
were
these four.
Yeah, we've always been friends.
And they found me at the side of the road. Signs saying Manchester or bust. So they decided to take me and make the numbers up. So here I am.
Prior to her work on TV, Diane had joined the BBC as a personal assistant at Radio 2. Soon, her talent was recognised and she was on air at Radio 1, alongside the likes of Steve Wright and Simon Mayo. There, she interviewed A-list celebrities like George Michael.
Right, I tell you what I want to do. I want to go round the posse here. Diane, say hello to Diane over there.
Hello, Diane, how are you doing?
You want to ask George a question?
Yeah, you say that, you know, your attitude's changed. Do you think you found fame maybe a little bit too early?
I don't know if it was too early. I mean, I can't say it was too early because it's left me where I am now and I'm very happy where I am now. But it is a bit strange. I mean, I was in school and then I left school and within about 9 months I was reasonably famous.
Diane had grown up in the Northeast. She was born in 1967 and, as she recalls here, had happy memories of teenage nights out in Newcastle.
This takes me back when I lived in Newcastle and I just started going out with my sister and her friends on an evening, and we used to go out to a nightclub, a floating nightclub on the Tyne called the Tuxedo Princess.
Bet that was cold as well.
Well, if nobody ever wore a coat, we wouldn't know.
And the train now departing on BBC One is the 8:15 from Manchester.
When Diane got that job on children's TV, it brought her back north to Manchester. It was around this time that she met her husband, Ian, who was working as a cameraman at the BBC's Oxford Road. Then, after studying at the Met Office College in Berkshire, she joined North West Tonight.
Good evening to you. Well, you know what I know about the weather. It is very, very wet at the moment. I'm afraid that's the way it stays all the way through the night.
We've got Diane's relaxed, easygoing on-screen style, along with her warmth and humour, made her an instant favourite with viewers across the region.
Well, swimming with sharks at the Blue Planet Aquarium for comic relief. Oh yes, check it out. This is how I've always wanted to appear on television. head to toe in rubber and not a scrap of makeup.
Because of her popularity with audiences across the Northwest, in 2002, Diane was asked to present the lunchtime show here on BBC Radio Manchester. Soon, she moved to the breakfast programme alongside Eamon O'Neill. The chemistry between them was instant.
New York City, I'm doing fine now. And you're doing all right, actually, because you've got your own... That's that. Oh, I thought you were asking me. I know what it is. Is it a mystery noise competition?
It's a mystery noise competition. What's in my hand?
What have I got in my hand? It's a hairdryer.
It is.
And why is that?
In more recent years, Diane fronted the documentary series Inside Out Northwest, and she continued to be a regular presenter here on BBC Radio Manchester. In her personal life, her great love was for her family and her horses. Diane will be desperately missed by everyone who knew her, including all of us here at the BBC. She leaves us with so many memorable moments from her broadcasting career, including this one when Peter Kay gate-crashed her forecast on Northwest Tonight.
If you don't like those charts, this might be the one that you like. You can see that the warm air is moving out of the way and the cool air is coming back in, so that makes more sense to you.
Hey! It's roasting, Diane!
Well, you just do it then!
It's roasting outside!
You know,
everybody's so happy!
I'm going to come to one of your concerts and come on stage and just
climb on your knees!
It's
God love Diane Oaks! God love her! You've made it sunshine for everybody!
For once!
God love Diane Oxbury, you've made it sunshine for everybody. Eamon O'Neill is with me now in the studio.
Well, that's the line that sums it up.
Doesn't it? It's what Roger said this morning.
Yeah, I heard Roger say that too.
And he said, when he said that, he never even probably had planned what he was going to say. But
well, he was in Peter Kay land, really, wasn't he? But what he actually said there is perfectly apposite, and it's a good morning to remember that sentiment.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just have a quick chat to Dave in Winsford. He's on the phone now. Morning, Dave. Dave, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now, Dave. Thank you. Here with Eamon. You used to listen to the two of them together, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I first came across Diane on Simon Mayo's programme, and it was a confession slot that you always used to make me laugh. Okay, people phoning in with confessions and things. And then with Eamon, it was like, I can't remember how it worked about, but there was people phoning in with a topic, and nearly every day Lion Eyes was put in there as a song.
It was actually that. Dave, you're right. And I've got that written down on my notes here, that whatever topic we were talking about, we just brought it round to Lying Eyes by the Eagles. I think it started with let's have songs about animals, and as soon as somebody said lion.
Lion Eyes,
We had Lion Eyes, and then whatever we talked about for days and weeks, we just used it as an excuse to play Lion Eyes.
I might nick that idea. I mean, I quite like that.
To be honest, it doesn't sound funny now you're talking about it.
When you dissect it, you know, we shouldn't dissect things.
Do you know what though, Dave, if you don't mind me jumping in, we just heard Michelle and Richard's wonderful package there with Memories of Diane, and they said that when we were put together, it was actually on the mid-morning show before breakfast, but the chemistry was instant, and Diane and I both thought it was, and hopefully that came across to you as a listener.
Oh, definitely.
How are you feeling this morning at the news, Dave?
Well, when I woke up and turned the radio on, because I hear the news just as I get up, and that was it. I was absolutely gobsmacked and almost in tears having a shave this morning. I've written down here, this is like the friend that I never met, because never ever met her, but from when, like I say, the early days on Radio 1, just hearing her voice and not even knowing what she looked like then. I know I put in the text that I sent in that tonight, you know, whoever does the weather, there'll be an extra special sparkling star in the sky tonight.
Yeah, there will. And I think you're right there, the friend you never met. I think, you know, in this business, that is quite artificial, actually, generally speaking, Dave. But Diane stood out as someone who never signed up to that artifice. She was a real, genuine person. And the measure of a good presenter, as we are called, is if people whom you've never met regard you as a friend. And as we heard in... we've read in Ian, her husband's statements yesterday evening and this morning. You know, obviously she was a great family woman, a wonderful wife and a fantastic mother. But people like yourself and others felt she was part of their family, and you welcomed her into your home And that's a huge testament.
The ultimate honour, isn't it?
It is the ultimate honour, you're right. Yeah.
Dave, thanks for calling in. It's been lovely to chat to you.
No, you're welcome.
All right, take care.
Take care, all of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. We should read Ian's statement, actually, here. Ian, Diane's husband, said, Diane was an amazing wife and mother who embraced life to the full. She was an inspiration to all who knew and loved her, but also to the people who watched and welcomed her into their homes, like Dave, each night, as if she were a part of their family too. She'll leave a massive void in our lives, but because of the remarkable person she was, she will forever live on in our hearts. The children and I will miss her more than anybody can imagine. She, do you know what always struck her, struck me about her, that I always was a bit envious, was how like strong she was. And I always think if I could have like a tenth of the assertiveness and the strength and the confidence in being her, even if she didn't feel like that, that was the way it always came across. I always thought I would be happy with that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if you split it into three, I mean, let's bear in mind, if you don't mind me saying this, we all feel devastated this morning, as we've heard your listeners do as well. But this isn't actually about us. This is about Ian and the children.
Of course it is.
And the wider family. So we must bear that in mind, have that at the forefront of our minds. But Diane was strong. She was Amazonian, statuesque, beautiful. As a mother, she was a loving mother. She was a fantastic wife for 25 years. And as a professional, you couldn't get a more professional, as we've heard people say this morning. Roger said it, and the two Simons have said it. And you're right, that confidence pervaded everything. But I think what shone through was the ordinariness of was extraordinary, and the humility.
Yeah.
And away from the microphones and cameras, like yourself, Chelsea, she's been a patron of St Anne's Hospice for many years and all the charity work she did. And, you know, I'm celebrating her ordinariness in what was an extraordinary person. But the time we had together on air, it doesn't, I know some of the anecdotes, you know, I'm smiling a lot to myself, but they don't all sound that amusing now. But we were thrust together by accident almost, and we did click straight away. And I mean, the last text I sent her actually only last week was to remind her that we've got a new chair for the trifle. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but I was delighted that she texted back and she said, oh, you've made me smile. And that story was somebody, a guest had brought us a trifle in, and obviously we weren't going to eat it because you never know what people have
put in it,
how clean the hands were when they made it. So we put it on a chair in the corner of the studio and it stayed there for about 2 days, and then eventually it got shifted, but the chair stayed.
Right.
The next day, three guests came in, and they're only with an entourage, and one of the entourage went to sit on the chair, and Diane turned around and said, don't sit on that, that's for the trifle. So clearly that doesn't mean anything to anybody except us now. And then when the World Cup was over in Germany, every time she and I had to throw to the reporter of the World Cup, she would say, or I would say, let's go now to Baden, Baden. And the other one would say, pardon. Again, not very funny now. And then
I disagree,
Baden, Baden, Baden.
I think that's my kind of humour.
They became kind of private catchphrases. Then another time, I won't mention the guest's name because he's well known, he was becoming disrespectful. And so Diane actually got up and wheeled his chair out of the studio to join the interview.
That's the strength I'm
talking
about.
And that's the strength you were talking about.
That's the strength I'm talking about. Everyone is so stunned because it seems so sudden. You have been to see her, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw her the day before yesterday afternoon. I went to see her, and I was pleased to note that she had some very close friends with her, and she knew they were there. And I went in and Ian said, here's Eamon. And she said, oh, I'm here. And then she croaked, tell me a joke.
Oh.
And then, as in life, I tried to tell her a joke and she just drifted off.
Yeah, she
not
didn't
listening.
Laugh. Yeah.
I didn't actually do that, but I was pleased that I'd managed to see her. We all feel a great sense of loss, but I think that it's hard to explain just what a warm person she was and how much joy she brought into the lives of many people, family and friends and people she didn't know. And there'll be a big hole here at the BBC. And as Roger Johnson said earlier, she was a reluctant celebrity. She didn't care about the fame. It wasn't about that. She was a communicator.
It's
and
like
that huge smile.
A Twitter even, you know, it was all about her cats and her dogs. And we always laughed because we called her a pet collector.
Yeah.
Because she did just used to collect these random pets and homeless animals and things like that. And that was being at home and being with Ian and being with the kids and being with the dogs and the horses and the cats and and everything else in between was where she probably felt most at peace, I think, was it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And that brings back the ordinariness in an extraordinary person. And the clip she played just before the news at 8 showed you just what a great interviewer she was, because we call them interviews, but actually the best interviews are just conversations.
Chats, yeah.
And the objective is to get the best out of people. Mm. And she did that wonderfully. She was so engaged. She was one of us. She was an every man's person, wasn't she? And it's really terrible to talk about her in the past tense, but we do have to. But I heard Simon Mayo, heard Simon King, heard Roger Johnson, and it's really difficult for me to add to anything that everybody's already said, apart from I did know her as a close friend and we spoke a lot. And I was glad to have been able to send her a little text before she got too ill, to give her a little smile. But we all feel as if it's been a family bereavement.
Yeah.
Which is, then I feel guilty feeling that, because, what about Ian?
Yeah,
and the children.
Close family. Mm. Yeah. Eamon, thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us. We had a call earlier on this morning from Angie, who summed it up pretty well for me. Let's take a listen.
I'm floored, Chelsea. I had no idea. Absolutely couldn't believe it. Got in the car to come to work this morning and I heard the news and I thought, and it was like somebody had knocked me sideways. Her voice and her smile and her energy and everything. The minute you heard the voice on the radio or the TV with the weather, you knew it was Diane. And I am actually, I'm crying. I am, and I know I never met her, but some people touch her heart and some people you really, really like, and you wake up to them and you think, do you know what? You make my day because you're there, and that's it. And that's how I feel right now. And I'm sorry, I'm blubbering. You lot must feel dreadful. I mean, I can't imagine how Ian and the children feel. They're just going to need time. Thank you for giving me the time to speak, Chelsea. And God bless you all today. And God bless Ian and the children. And most of all, God bless Diane.
BBC Radio Manchester.